Little Hand says it's time to rock and roll.
Bring the noise.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Everything Action Cast week of October 17th, 2011. I'm your host, Zach. And this week we have Chris.
Howdy.
And Joe.
Bueno, bueno.
All right. So, I think we had a great show as usual this week. We're going to talk about classic literature turned into movies later because the new Three Musketeers is out this weekend.
Whether we like it or not.
And it looks horrible. But we'll talk.
It happened.
We'll get to that later. And we also got a bunch of news stories to talk about. Why don't we kick it off with Show and Tell like we usually do. So, Chris, what have you been watching last week?
I've been catching up on TV shows, staying true to Community,
yep.
The Office.
Oh, man, last week's Community was amazing. The multiple timelines one.
Oh, man. Such a I never seen, like, a show do a sci-fi theme so well in the sense of, like, alternate dimensions.
Yep.
And I'm all for alternate dimensions. That's why I read Marvel.
Yep.
But, I like the fact that they have an evil Ahmed now. He's yeah. Like, well, I guess we're evil. Here's some beards.
We're like, Pierce got shot in the leg, and then, like,
he died.
The apartment got set on fire.
And I don't know how, what's his face? Lost his arm. He just.
Because I think He was trying to put out the fire or something, and, like, with a blanket, and then, like, it burned his arm off or something.
That was pretty funny.
Yeah.
This past week's Office, the one with like the opening sketch of the billboards.
Yeah.
Funniest opening I've seen in a long time.
Yeah, it was okay.
What?
I think my policy now is like, if I'm watching TV on Thursday, I'll watch The Office, but if I'm not, I'm not going to seek it out.
Oh, wow, Zach.
It's just, it's not funny. It's like, there's a couple chuckles here and there, but like, it's just, compared to the other stuff that's on, like, our two shows that are on before, it's just like, yeah.
Okay, I could see that. It's getting kind of frumpy now to watch, but...
Yeah.
They're trying. You know what's really bad is when they start dumbing down Jim. You know, they start making him, like, stupid to, like, make the show flow now.
Kind of.
I get sense that. I'm just like, no, you're like, killing...
On the AV Club, they do, like, their recaps of everything. They're talking about the logistics of, like, how did Jim manage to, like, print an entire book and put it on eBay and sell to Dwight? Because obviously he had to write, like, an entire book. Like, where does he have time to do that?
Apparently he does.
With, like,
I mean, like,
old school
Jim used to.
Yeah.
Like, old school Jim. But now, like, new school Jim seems like he hates his life. And he's just like, fuck. Yeah, I find, like, enjoyment out of anything.
God.
So... I mean, but I still enjoy the show. It's kind of like, get to that point where it's like Simpsons, where like it's like, oh, I'm never gonna die.
25 seasons
and a movie. And of course, I was watching The Walking Dead.
Yes,
but we'll talk about that.
I saw that as well.
Joe,
I don't know if you want to plug your ears or not.
I will.
Okay,
but before that, I watched Soldier. The Kurt Russell movie that
oh my God.
Almost killed the action genre.
Wasn't that Paul W.S. Anderson?
Was it?
Director of Three Musketeers coming out this weekend.
Holy shit. Let me see. Holy shit, you're right.
He did Event Horizon and like a bunch of other weird movies.
Wow. How does this make sense?
It's also the weird like Blade Runner side story.
Oh.
That we discussed, like, a couple weeks ago, or months ago.
Well, it was on Encore, so I was like, okay, Encore, you're okay. So I watched it, and it's a very weird movie.
Yeah.
I like the idea that they take children, they show them horrific things, like a wolf eating a pig, and then that's supposed to, like, make them, like, used to violence and, like, more antisocial, like, just very... soldierish things, which is fine. You know, I get that. Like, it's the future. I like the beginning's good. And then they introduce the second version, Generation of the Soldiers. that that kicks the shit out of Kurt Russell, the Jason Scott Lee upgrade.
Yep.
And man, Jason Scott Lee just came off of Bruce Lee the movie, and he looks jacked in this movie. Like, he's shaved, he's all like muscular. He beats up like three of the old soldiers and throws them off like a giant platform. And then, like, the one part I really didn't get was they take the bodies and they go to like the future equivalent of Australia,
mm-hmm.
and drops them off. It's like Australia and Staten Island had a baby, and that baby was a planet. It would be this planet. It's a planet just full of garbage and like outcasts. Do you guys remember that?
It's been so long since I've seen that movie.
Well, it's a planet full of junk, and there's just people that live on it. A bunch of, just colonists that just didn't go anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And Kurt Russell's there, and, like, he's antisocial. He's trying to socialize with them, and he, like, freaks out, and he's teaching them how to fight. And it's and at that point, it's like, it becomes a weird, like, reintroduce a wolf boy into society kind of movie. It was like they try to teach him emotions and feelings, and he's just like, what are these?
So, yeah, I think it's kind of universal soldiery.
Yes. It does get to that point.
Yeah.
It's not bad. I just remember, there were maybe two or three memorable scenes, but overall, it's not like, I'm going to watch this again anytime soon. But it does feature Gary Busey in a movie.
Gary Busey. Which is always, it's always good.
As Captain Church, and he gets killed by Jason Isaac.
Jason Isaac's in that movie, too?
Jason Isaac's in this movie. It's filled with really random people. Jason Isaac's in this movie. Even the dude from The Shield, and there was The Thing, and, Michael, Fantastic Four. His name?
Michael Chiklis. Michael,
yeah, Michael Chiklis. He's in it as a side character. Yeah.
Vic
really
Matthew.
Crazy movie.
So, yeah, so Walking Dead, when we talk about that.
Yes.
Season 2 premiere, the 90-minute special premiere. It's off to a good start, I think.
Yeah, it's very dramatic. It definitely is, like, to get you ready for the whole season, for that dreaded doom feeling that's going to happen.
Yep.
I just wish they maybe added a little more comedy into it. Because this movie, once you know it's dramatic, you just stay with it being dramatic. So you're not surprised when some zombie pops up or anything.
Yeah, there wasn't... I think Glenn or Dale are usually, the comic relief. They weren't really featured that much in this episode.
Yeah, it's not bad. I just wish there was something that would distract me so when a zombie pops up or someone's like, zombie! I get oh, shit.
I thought the opening happened. Was, the first half hour was awesome when, the zombie herd started, walking down the interstate. And we had, hide under cars. But we were talking before the show, T-Dog, the black guy, is, he's clearly in another horror movie, he would be, the black guy who dies first.
Definitely.
They're sort of, making, this, weird, joke out of it, of, he's trying to hide under a car, he slices his hand on, the window of a car or something, or, the jagged metal that's coming out the window.
The side door.
Yeah. So, he slices his artery open, and it's, bleeding everywhere.
Yeah, and then, he almost passes out from it.
Yeah, and, he's, crawling around, oh my god, how do I get under a car? I forgot how to crawl under a car. I don't know.
Even the hysterical mom character knew how to get under a car.
Yeah. So then, Daryl has to, crossbow a zombie in the head to, save him. I think in, the first season 2, he kept, getting in, these weird, about almost dead situations. Because, he was held hostage by Michael Rooker. Or, he was getting the shit beat on by Michael Rooker. And then, I think a couple of other weird things happened to him.
Well, I remember that I thought he was going to be the first casualty, because oh, it's like his arm open. All the zombies kind of smell in the air. Oh, shit. Now,
yeah, I kind of thought they were going to kick it off with, they're kicking the show off with, yeah, remember, no one's safe in the show. This guy's dead.
Well, do you remember, in the opening where Rick is on the roof just, telling his friend that this is what he's going to do?
Yeah.
What time did he do that? Was that in the end of season one? Or was that?
I think it was, they must have, like, just, before they left Atlanta for good, for, like, because after CDC blew up.
Right.
I think that, because, like, he was talking about the CDC and stuff.
Yeah, but I'm thinking, like, what point he's like, hey, let me pull over and just rant to this radio for a good half hour.
I'm sure he just wanted, like, give, like, Morgan one more warning or something. Because he was, like, doing it, like, every day, like, warning him and stuff in case he was listening. So, yeah, the Zombie Herd thing was awesome. Then I thought, like, it probably didn't need to be, like, an hour and a half because there's a lot of, like, once, like, Sophia went missing, it was, like, just, like, it was, like, an hour of just, like, them running through the woods.
Yeah, that point was kind of tedious.
Yeah. It wasn't awesome. Was... Like, we got to check the zombie to make sure it didn't eat her. Like, let's cut the zombie open.
That's when Dale's like, hey, here's my Bowie knife. I'm just going to check his guts. And
he's like,
he somehow knows the anatomy of a human to, like, find the right organs without looking.
Well, this is his, like, stomach. Like, Rick was going to do it. And he's like, you ever skin a deer, Sheriff? It's like, here, let me do it. So he, like, cut the thing open. And they're, like, digging through its stomach and stuff. So that was awesome. That was pretty awesome. There's a couple, like, really awesome zombie kills in this episode. Like, Rick with the rock, smashing him in the face with it.
Oh, that was barbaric.
Yeah.
That was awesome.
Mm-hmm. I just love him, just, like, his look behind the tree. He's like, let's get the shit on. Like, smashes him with the face with it. I also love, like, the church zombies, which is, like, super creepy.
Yeah, I didn't understand that. I was like, so they know that to hang out in the church or something? Like, I didn't...
I don't know. It looks like they were getting married. There's like the creepy, like the lady zombie with the veil and stuff.
Yep. And she was, like, the last zombie to live in that group.
Yeah. And then, like, Rick and them just, like, pull out their, like, because Carol finds, like, the bag of knives.
Yeah, that was kind of weird. It's just, like, a dead zombie with
a sack full of knives, yeah.
I didn't get, did that guy die naturally, or
I think so, yeah. I think he just, like, died, like, or maybe because, like, there's, like, the huge traffic jam, like, he just got stuck there and died or something.
That sucks.
Yeah. But yeah, they just, like, fuck those zombies up with the knives and stuff. Then the end was like, well, I guess I watched it on my PS3 because I'm not able to watch it on Sunday. But I guess like the preview showed like Carl's gonna be fine or something, or like he might be fine.
Yo, I mean, it's cool because they finally get back on track to the comic scenarios.
Kind of. Well, this also like a reversal of the comic scene.
True.
Because they're like in the woods hunting, and then like someone gets shot. What was he gonna do with that deer? Was he gonna go kill it?
I don't know.
He's
don't
like know the... like sort of like walking up to it.
Yeah, he's like, I'm gonna pet my first deer. It's like, don't you live in the country? Have you not seen a deer before?
I'm gonna go pet that deer. So I'm excited for the season.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just gonna wait until, like, you know, I watch it as it comes. But it's not like, oh man, it's gonna kill me if I don't watch this episode.
Mm-hmm. It's definitely still one of the best shows on right now. So.
That's true.
Better than American Horror Story. The true horror show is back. I've only seen the first episode still.
I might catch a second one. But Joe's warning me that the second episode is, like, dramatically worse. So that's actually not an improvement.
Yeah, it's pretty terrible. Not a very good show.
I heard it, like, the second episode sort of gets more linear than the first one, which is, like, random scenes happening.
Yeah, but it doesn't get better. It's more linear, but it's just, like, a straight, narrow path of shit.
Do they introduce even more crazy characters?
Yeah.
It's... like, even more, like, weird ghosts?
Weird ghosts and fucking, like, just fucking here's crazy
events.
Here's
the guy who owned the house.
Like, it's just too much.
Yeah.
It really is. Like, you definitely have to see the second episode to get what I'm talking about, but there's, like, a... Someone definitely saw the movie The Strangers.
Great.
Is it the junior kids? Just, like, with bags on their heads?
God, I wish.
Or the weird Down syndrome girl?
No, it's, like, the girl who played, like, Peter's roommate and or the girl across the hall from Peter in Spider-Man 2 who gives him chocolate cake, like, pretends to be a patient of Dylan McDermott, and then fucking, like, tries to copycat some murder that happened in that house, of course, in the 60s. God. But, like, with a group of friends.
Fuck.
Like, it's really fucking bizarre. I'm like, I just don't want to talk about it.
Mm-hmm. So what else did you watch?
Bad. I've been watching Sons of Anarchy, Boardwalk Empire, Dexter,
yep.
All my stories.
My stories.
Stories. I saw Everything Must Go, that Will Ferrell movie.
Yes,
that
I've heard of
very
that.
Very much under the radar. It wasn't terrible. It was a nice little movie. It wasn't very heartwarming. There's really no, like, great message to it other than sometimes you got to look life in the face and say fuck it. But there's some good moments in it. I mean, if it's on, I'd give it a watch if you've got nothing, you know, better to do. And I don't mean that in a bad way. I just mean, like, don't kill yourself to see this movie.
Probably a Netflix instant watch or something pretty soon.
Yeah, no, that seems perfect. That
yeah.
Seems perfect. But it's good. I mean, there's some subtle, like, black comedy to it, which is good. But, you know, it's nice. In addition, I also saw Fast 5.
Yes!
Which, rocks my socks. It was a pretty killer movie.
Oh, yeah.
I don't really know what I could say about that other than the fact that it's awesome.
The Rock is awesome
and,
in it.
The Rock is awesome in everything and everything he does. Even
Put on your thunder pants!
Yeah. Yeah, it was fucking... It was insane.
I think it's like third or fourth line is like, stay the fuck out of my way!
Yeah. Yeah, that was his, like, third or fourth line. You're totally right.
And he's like, straight out of, like Call of Duty or something. No matter what.
Absolutely. Absolutely. He's straight out of my, like, homoerotic action hero fantasies.
Constantly sweating.
Always sweating.
Yep.
It's always, like, he always just did cardio. That's how he looks.
He, like, goes in the back of the truck and just does push-ups on the way to the places.
What are you doing? Running in place, keeping up the heart rate. But yeah, killer, killer, killer fucking movie.
Like,
definitely
Vince
check it out.
Is awesome.
Yeah. Oh man.
Destroy a small building in the process.
Yeah, that was most good.
Mm-hmm.
I also started watching Bored to Death, which is a HBO program mm-hmm. on Blu-ray. It's quirky. I mean, it takes place, or is supposed to take place, in the neighborhood in Brooklyn I grew up in, so it's kind of interesting.
It's like a noir something, too.
It's like a hipster noir. That's the best way to describe it. There's some funny
moments. Noir.
Zach Galifianakis is pretty funny for the most part. Jason Schwartzman is actually pretty likable. So it's good stuff. Ted Danson is fucking hilarious in that show, by the way. Like, I have no idea where that came from, but... Well done, Mr. Danson. And I guess the last big thing, other than the fact that Arkham City fucking rocks and is consuming every minute of my day that I don't spend working.
Gotta play as soon as we're done.
Yeah, bitch. I saw Batman Year One,
mm-hmm.
Which just came out on the Blu-rays and the DVDs. I know it was out on PSN and iTunes and all that shit.
It may or may not be our pick of the week. I don't know. We'll have to wait and see on that.
For the week, I don't know. I'm not a fortune teller. If it wasn't, I'd be kind of pissed. But yeah, it was worth the wait. And as usual, DC does a solid fucking job with their animated production. The animation was great. The voice acting was pretty stellar. Even though personally, I wasn't a huge fan of there are basically three Bruce Wayne characters in this. There's Playboy Bruce Wayne. Bruce Wayne, and then Batman.
Mm-hmm.
I think that the real Bruce Wayne, who does, like, the narration, or, like, at least the internal dialogue and stuff, I think the voice is a little robotic and kind of void, but I think that's what they're going for, because Bruce Wayne is sort of just the vessel between the, like, you know, the fake Playboy and the real identity, which is Batman. So it kind of makes sense that he sounds kind of like a robot. Or kind of like Michael Shannon from Boardwalk Empire.
Yeah. That's the kind of thing I was worried about, like, because Ben McKenzie, who's, like, basically OC.
Yeah, he's kind of a douche.
Yeah. I was worried, like, I heard it, like, do you get used to it, or is it...
His voice as Batman makes up for everything
okay.
else. you know, like, but I don't know. Like, I don't know how they could have improved the voice. Like, I, what I'm trying to say is, like, I don't know how they could have fixed it so that I would have liked it more.
Kevin Conroy.
You know me so well. Other than it being Kevin Conroy.
Why don't they have, like, why isn't it just, like, the lifetime Kevin Conroy clause?
I don't understand why it's not just, like, a law.
Yeah.
It's going to be, like, the fucking...
Is it animated Batman? Okay. Kevin
what
Conroy.
What amendment are we up to? What amendment are we up to? Like, 22?
Right, Congressman, about that one.
Dear, oh my god, I'm going to have to.
Occupy Wall Street, get on that shit.
I'm going to make a sign that says Kevin Conroy for Batman, always.
Mm-hmm.
Always. And people will be like, right on, man, right on. Fuck the banks. But this movie was fucking incredible. But hands down, the best DC animated movie they've done yet. Ooh. And I'll tell you why. They've really come a long way with the animation. Not that the animation has ever been bad, but this was the perfect... Well, before I get into that, I have to say what's going to lead to this. It's basically a shot-for-shot adaptation of Batman Year One.
So I've heard.
It's basically a fucking motion comic. Except, like, on another level. So, instead of doing, like, the half-animated sort of motion comic thing, they decided to just animate the comic fully and just have the storyboards be the comic, which really is how it should be. They took some liberties with some scenes that aren't in the book, like Jim Gordon and his wife, Babs, going to get, like, a sonogram. But it's, like, a 15-second scene, and it really doesn't do anything except sort of, like, reinforce the fact that she's very pregnant at that point in the movie. And then they add, like, a few frames of fighting here and there. The only thing I really didn't like about it was the fact that they add a brief fight scene between Bruce and Selina. The first time he goes out and is, like, walking the red light district.
Mm-hmm.
I believe... she attacks him in the comic, if I remember correctly, and he just sort of handles her and, like, throws her off to the side. But in this, they have, like, a full-on, like, kung fu showdown. I was like, okay, this is a little bit much.
Well, wasn't Bruce, like, getting his ass kicked and then, like, seeing, like, oh, I better help this guy, this idiot?
No, he's about to get his ass kicked, allegedly, or she thinks, and she, like, jumps down.
Oh, yeah, that's right, and then, like, he, like, ninjas them.
Oh, he fucks them up.
Yeah.
He doesn't. The thing is, he gets shot by
the
cop.
Yeah.
Show up. He's like, oh, he didn't move. He was gonna. But yeah, incredible adaptation. And they did such an interesting job with the animation because the animation is top notch. Like, I really like the style that they chose, but there are certain frames that are literally just a blown up version of the comic. Like, if you read, I would highly recommend reading the comic before you watch it. Just to, like, give yourself a refresher. But you'll notice that there are, like, shots that are taken directly from the comic. And even the animation style, it seems like it goes outside of itself to really just present the exact, I guess, artwork from the comic, basically. And it's not done in a way that takes you out of it, because it's done really seamlessly. But it just looks fucking incredible. You know, overall, the pacing was great, because I know Year One kind of slows down in the middle for a little while, then picks up at the end. They didn't change the ending, which I was really happy about, because the ending of Batman Year One, I think, leaves a lot to be desired. Just like the final conflict on the bridge, I just think it's kind of random and thrown together. And I think a lot of other fans feel that way, too, but it doesn't really detract from how much ass Year One kicks, anyway. So I'm glad that they didn't change it, though, because it kept the integrity of the story. But here's what I propose, DC Comics. Keep doing this. It doesn't have to be with Batman. Let's go for Superman for All Seasons, or Superman Red Sun, something like that. Let's do another direct adaptation, and let's take some liberties here and there. But let's give the fans what they want to see and things that can't really be live-action movies.
Let's do Long Halloween.
Oh, my God. If you did Long Halloween, and I mean, it's got a built-in sequel.
Yeah.
In Dark Victory. If you did Long Halloween in that exact, not Bruce, Tim Sale style, it would really make my day. It would make my life, actually. I would be fucking all over that. Like, I would donate money to that cause. But that being said, they are doing a Dark Knight Returns DC animated movie, and you know what? If it's an adaptation like this, I don't have any worries about it. I don't have any worries about it. I think what DC did with Year One is they made a very safe move, because it's a simple story. It's a story that's relevant because Batman Begins isn't too far behind us. So the whole like Batman starting over thing is still kind of cool. Like for the mainstream at least, because they feel like Batman has just sort of started. And you know, it's something that's so widely loved by the fans that it's not like people would be pissed off that it's being made in the first place, because I don't know anyone that just hates Year One, you know? So I think that they did this to test the waters. It's getting a great, tremendous response. And I think that now, you know, you can up the stakes. And I think that's what they're doing with The Dark Knight Returns, because there's a lot more at stake with that. Because The Dark Knight Returns is widely regarded as, like, one of the best, if not the best, graphic novel of all time. And it really put Dark Batman on the map. You know, Frank Miller basically created this uber dark, brooding Batman that we have. And it really all started with The Dark Knight Returns. So DC, I think, you know, they're going to have to rely on what got them to this point, which is good storytelling and great comics. And now let's just let those Korean animators do their job.
Mm-hmm.
Let them work for their crackers.
Anything else, Joe? That's it.
I think that's basically it.
Okay. So besides Walking Dead, I saw a couple of... Actually, coincidentally, they both feature Norwegian people. I saw Troll Hunter on Netflix to watch.
Oh, nice. I still need to see that.
Which, man, that's a super fun movie.
Oh, yeah.
Probably one of the best found footage movies I've seen in a while.
Excellent.
And some great special effects, even though it's like an indie Norwegian movie. Like, the trolls, they look amazing in this movie. Like, they're, like, gigantic, and, like, they're all different. And it does a great job, like, playing on, like, the tropes of trolls for, like, from, like, folktales and stuff and fairy tales. Like, there's like, the troll hunter, like, the titular troll hunter is a guy named Hans. And he's, like, a secret, like, troll hunter for the government, like, the Norwegian government. So he basically he goes out, like, whenever there's, like, a troll, like, rampaging or, like, out of its territory, he goes and, like, kills it. So, and, like, so there's, like, this group of, like, Norwegian college kids, like, trying to do, like, this, like, documentary about, it's like a documentary, like a news report about this, like, there's like a, they think there's like a bear poacher running around, because there's like a bear, there's only like a certain number of bear hunters in Norway. So it's like, they find like a dead bear, and it's like, there's a guy poaching bears. So they're trying to like, so I think this guy Hans is like a bear poacher, but then it turns out he's a troll hunter, so they start following him around. But they play on like the tropes of like trolls, like Hans asks all of them, like, they believe in like God or Jesus, because like, trolls can smell the blood of Christian men.
What?
You know, like, Fee-Fi-Fo-Fum, I smell the blood of a Christian man. Like Jack and the Beanstalk.
Oh, okay.
And then, like, they turn to stone or explode in the sunlight. So Hans has, like, this, like, UV gun that he shoots at them.
Like the thing from Blade?
Well, kinda. Well, yeah, like the lamp. But it's, like, this, like, giant, it's like a bazooka sort of thing.
Hmm.
And, they, like, some of them live under bridges and stuff, and, like, he uses three billy goats to, like, lure it out.
Okay. I didn't know the Norwegian, like, folklore.
Yeah, trolls are, like, huge, and, like, Norway is, like, all about trolls. And, like, all sorts of, like, weird creatures. Like, if you go to, like, if you've ever been, like, Norway and Epcot.
Yeah. Right. Well, I know they, like, all trolls. That's, like, Disney-fied, so I don't really know, like, the true thing.
That's, like, part of their, like, culture. But yeah, it's really fun. It's got a super abrupt ending that makes no sense, but other than that, it's a pretty awesome movie. It's got that problem, like, obviously, like, this footage got found, so, like, obviously this ended a certain way, so how do we end it? And it's like, really weird ending that makes no sense. There's a lot of, like, awesome, like, found footage, like, text of, like, we found this footage in October 20th, 2011, and we put it together. We found, like, 20 hours of footage on two hard drives. So I said definitely check it out. It's on Netflix to watch if you want to check it out. And then the other movie about Norwegian movies I saw was the New Thing movie.
Oh, boy.
The new The Thing.
I'm so sorry.
Yes, it was not good. Like, my question coming out of it was, like, why does this need to exist? Because it does nothing to, like, justify its existence. Like, it just does the same exact thing that the original did, but, like, 10 times better.
Is Ramona Flowers still hot in this movie?
She's, like, in a parka the entire time, so...
No, you bastards.
But, yeah, I guess she's doing sort of, like, a Ripley from Alien sort of thing, I guess, but...
I did read that they're trying to channel that into it.
She's, like, a flamethrower for, like, the last half of the movie, like, burning everyone.
Which, is that just a common gear to have in the Antarctic, just to have a flamethrower?
Yeah, and melt ice or something, I guess. So, if you're on a science station, you need flamethrowers. But yeah, it's just like, there's scenes that they're playing off scenes from the original, but they're like completely like uninspired and like poor, like pale imitations of the original scenes. Like, there's like a test scene, but it's like the test, that they come up with like the idea for the blood test, but then the lab gets destroyed. So then, Mary Elizabeth Winstead comes up with like the plan for like, because they find out that the thing can't replicate like inorganic matter, because like one of the guys that got killed had like a leg brace or something, so they find it like inside the thing, like not part of the new body. So then she checks everyone for like fillings in their teeth. So everyone who doesn't have fillings is like considered might be the thing, and everyone who has fillings is like safe. So that's their test. Which, definitely not as exciting as the blood scene from the original. And it's just, like, there's no, like, interesting characters. Like, everyone's just, like, basically everyone in this movie except Mary Elizabeth Winstead is, like, fodder for the thing. They're like, most generic, like, Norwegian guys. But, like, some of them have beards, some of them don't. But, like, you can barely tell them apart.
They're interchangeable.
Yeah,
Norwegians.
Like, yeah.
Are they, like, tall, blonde men?
Well, sort of. Two of them are, like, tall blonde men. Some of them have beards. Some of them are, like, bushy beard guys. And then, I don't know, Joel Edgerton doesn't really do much. Like, I think they're trying to set him up as, like, the Kurt Russell sort of character, because he's, like, the helicopter pilot. He basically disappears for, like, half the movie and shows up at the end. Doesn't do anything. There's no interesting creature designs in this movie. Like, the original had, like, amazing, like, just, like, things you've never seen before and never seen since. Like, the head turning to a spider and, like, the jaw, like, the entire chest opening up with the jaws and stuff.
Oh, that part was freaky.
Yeah, and then, like, just, like, the blob of, like, a dog head and, like, a head and, like, tentacles and everything. Just, like, the end creature were just, like, a blob. Yeah. Like, I was actually, these new creatures remind a lot of, like, the necromorphs from Dead Space.
So they pretty much repeat themselves, because, like, I read your article. You said that Dead Space was inspired by The Thing, so this is inspired by Dead Space, so it's kind of like this full circle.
I don't know if... I'm sure Dead Space was inspired by The Thing, but I don't know. Yeah, it's just, like, their head... Like, people's bodies, like, just contort in weird ways. Like, their head goes on backwards, and, like, they grow extra arms. It's, like, it's not really interesting. Unlike the original one. It's, like, a lot of, like, terrible CG, too. Not practical effects like the original, which had some of the best practical effects ever. And then, like, when they try to do, like, even when they try to, like, do new stuff, they just, like, gloss over it. Like, they actually go inside, like, the thing's ship. But then they spend, like, 5 minutes in there. They don't even, like, nothing's explained. Nothing. There's no new information about the thing. It's just, like, oh, we're on the ship. Let's blow it up. And it's, like, there's, like, all this, like, weird technology on it and, like, some, like, just, like, this weird, like, portal thing. There's, like, this weird teleporter-looking thing, and, like, they don't even, like, just run past it. They don't even, like, talk about it or anything.
Terrifying.
So, yeah, not a lot of new information about the thing. There's, like, no expansion of the universe or anything. It's just, like, it's basically a remake, except until, like, the last couple minutes where, like, it ties into the original. Like, weirdly, in the credits of all things. Like, the tie-in to the original thing is, like, during the credits.
Huh. I mean, I guess that's kind of okay, but then kind of not, you know?
Yeah, and it's really weird. Like, there's a character that disappears, like, don't know, an hour into the movie is like when they make when the guy's on the helicopter at the end. But you don't see him like until that point. Like he disappeared like an hour ago. And it was like, I guess he was just hanging out or somewhere.
Well, it seemed like they kind of rushed this movie.
Yeah, right? It feels like really rushed. Like it doesn't have like the original had like that awesome sense of like tension, and, like slow burn.
Mm-hmm.
There's like a lot of great scenes. Like there's like the Kurt Russell. There's like a scene where like Kurt Russell's like talking to the tape recorder and stuff.
Like he's like recording his dread. He's just like, oh man, getting worse.
And there's like there's like that scene. There's just like meeting everyone at the base and like seeing what the other personalities are like and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But then it's just, this one's like, here's everyone. Okay, get the thing out. Okay, it escaped. Okay, it's killing people. Yep. Okay, let's burn everyone. Okay, well the base is in fire. Oh god, let's go to the ship. It's just like, it's like moving at too rapid a pace, and like it should like slow down and like explain things more. So I would say definitely pass on it. Just stick with the original, especially like the awesome Blu-ray transfer. So I think that's all I've been watching for the last week. So let me get into news and kick off news with a trailer, and it's the trailer for This Means War. This is right up your alley, I know.
Oh man,
this bizarre new genre of like action romantic comedies.
It's like it's The Killers all over again.
Yep, or like Night and Day.
Oh man,
or Bounty Hunter or something.
Like, it sucks because it's like an all star cast. It's like, it's so like, fuck.
You got Tom Hardy and Chris Pine as like the CIA's two best agents, but then they figure out they're dating the same woman, Reese Witherspoon. So they start like sabotaging each other with like CIA resources.
Honestly, like these guys, which is like these are smart killers. They're not gonna be like, okay, like they make a truce to see like let her decide who she wants to be with.
They start using like, I'm gonna use this special CIA sniper rifle with a tranquilizer dart in it to tranquilize you, and I'm gonna use a predator drone to chase you.
Yeah, that part was funny because he takes it out and he's like, hey, what's that? And he just shoots it.
Yeah. Do you see this, JoJo? Joe?
I'm here. No, I did not
see
it. It is very upsetting.
Yeah.
It sounds very upsetting to me.
Like, I would love to see these two in, like, an actual, like, action movie. Like, Tom Hardy and Pine.
Yeah. This could have been, like,
killing each other, dude.
Yeah. Without Witherspoon ruining it.
Yeah.
This has been a good action, like, kind of True Lies kind of thing.
Like, the action stuff looks actually looks pretty good. Like, it's just that when it's just them, like, doing missions and stuff looks actually pretty good. But it's like, then it's like the weird like True Lies of like, it looks like it was inspired by like that middle section of True Lies where like Arnold was like stalking Bill Pullman and Jamie Lee Curtis, where like was he work for Omega Sector or whatever he works for, like using like millions of dollars of government resources like just like figure out his wife cheating on him. Like he brings up, like that whole, he brings up, like the whole fucking tactical team to like attack his trailer.
Yep. I mean, it's a funny idea, this movie. It just seems like, it didn't have to be the all-star cast for this kind of idea.
Yeah. Did you actually see the trailer for One for the Money, Chris?
No, I just saw the picture of like Katherine Heigl.
Heigl is like a bounty hunter.
Yep.
Trying to catch the dad from Terra Nova.
I'm like, I've seen this movie. It just reversed.
Yeah.
Is she gonna bang this guy? Probably.
Yeah.
Is she gonna cry about like some sort of womanly problem about being a female bounty hunter? I'm like, yeah.
I don't understand this like weird new genre.
Well,
I guess it's trying to like get guys and girls to come to like a, it's like, guys, it's action, girls, it's romance.
I get it. It's a hybrid, but it's like, ugh. It's an abomination.
Do one or the other.
Yeah, do one or the other. Don't do both, because it's, like, confusing for the audience to follow. He's like, oh, this guy is, like, a high-trained killer. He can do all these things with, like, a pen. Yet he's, like, a big, like, sissy when it comes to handling his girlfriend in the movie. Like, why is he taking such a lip from, like, this girl he's dating, like, three times? Like,
yeah.
Really? Like, is he, he's got more problems than just, like, violence.
Aren't there terrorists we should be fighting with that predator drone?
Yeah, shouldn't there be, like, better things to do with our government funding.
Yeah. It's like, that's like True Lies too. It's like, Arnold, there's like terrorists with a fucking nuclear bomb running around. You're chasing your wife.
And, well, Tom Arnold brings that up in the movie one time, but then like Arnold just looks at him and grins and he's like, okay.
Shut up. I must punch Bill Pullman so hard that his neck breaks. But then it was only a dream. I was daydreaming while I was driving a car. So, anyway, next bit of news. I think a couple weeks ago we talked about the Twilight Zone shortlist of directors, which had, like, Christopher Nolan and, like, Michael Bay and Alfonso Cuarón, all these different crazy names.
Oh, boy.
So, the actual director, none of those guys, is actually Cloverfield Let Me In director Matt Reeves.
Wait. I thought J.J. Abrams directed Cloverfield.
No, he was producer. Matt Reeves directed it.
Ah.
Yeah, everyone makes that mistake.
Okay. Yeah, well.
He was executive producer, and it was his name all over it. Then also the Let Me In remake. I didn't see the Let Me In one. I think Brian saw it and said it was really good.
Okay.
I don't know. He's a good director. I don't know. I'd want to know, like, what story they were going to do, if any of the original stories.
Well, the thing about Twilight Zone is you don't need to focus on the direction. The story is what counts, really. Yeah.
Like, if they did, like, Monsters Do on Maple Street or something, that would be fucking amazing. Or, like,
Or they do Real Steel again.
That's Real Steel 2. Real Steel 2 is actually a Twilight Zone movie.
It's just like halfway through the movie, it's like, oh, here's a Real Steel, like, short story, and it just blatantly play the whole thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, yeah, it's just gonna be one story, so I don't know. I wish it was an anthology, because that'd be crazy to have, like, another Twilight Zone movie anthology thing. With, like, three or four different directors.
Yeah, I mean, I hope it's a collaboration, not just, like, one guy takes credit.
Well, it's kind of weird because, like, I think we talked about a couple months ago, like, the Tales from the Crypt show is a show or a movie? It's a show. It's going to be, like, not an anthology. It's going to be, like, an ongoing thing.
It's the American Horror Story Part 2.
Basically, yeah. So I don't, like, they're kind of, like, taking these anthology shows, like, not making them anthologies anymore, which is kind of weird.
Yeah, I don't know why they want to condense them to be follow these unfortunate people over and over again.
People want, like, ongoing things, like Lost and stuff. So yeah, that I don't know when. So I think it's probably the price of doing it next year or something. Probably come out like 2013 or something. We'll keep an eye on it. So other news from last week, we actually learned who the villains are going to be of Justified season 3.
Just a who?
Justified.
Yeah, I don't watch that.
You don't? Oh, you haven't watched that, Chris?
Again, everyone's got like a I have to list, and that's on it.
Yeah, get on that shit. But the bad guys are going to be Neil McDonough, who's actually Dum Dum Dugan in Captain America, M. Bison's Legend of Chun-Li.
No, terrible.
Bad guy, Band of Brothers he was on. He's in a bunch of stuff.
He was in Timeline.
Yep. So he's going to be one of the bad guys. And also Mike Clady Williamson, who was Bubba from Forrest Gump, also in the last season, 24. They're going to be I'm not sure if they're going to be working together or they're going to be two separate bad guys, but they're going to be the villains of season 3. Hmm. Which I'm wondering, because like Neil McDonough usually plays like more like white collar villains. Like Justified has been doing like redneck, backwoods, like cunning villains. So I don't know if they're going to do like a sort of like.
Yeah, from what I can tell from Justified, even though I don't watch it, I kind of figured they're doing the Burn Notice style of introducing a variant class of criminals, not just doing, like, rednecks. You know, they're doing evil teenagers to, like, evil assassins and corporate, like...
Well, I'm sure Neil McDonough's he's going to be sort of like, weird. Last season they had sort of, like, this oil company they've been talking about a whole bunch. So he's, like, the CEO of the oil company or something. So it's like, I'm sure he's gonna be like some sort of corrupt businessman.
I assume something like that.
And then you're gonna still have Boyd Crowder running around. Walton Goggins is like the drug dealing criminal mastermind. Can't wait for next summer for that show, Justified to be back. You should definitely start watching it, Chris.
I'll fall into it one of these days.
So, other casting news. There's a possible shortlist for John McClane Jr. coming out.
Oh, boy.
We talked about that last week. We talked about how it's a good day to Die Hard now and stuff like that. But, yeah, they're talking about a couple people who might be consider for John McClane Jr. Ben Foster from – he was a mechanic this year, 3 Dead in Yuma.
Punisher. He's a little old, isn't he, to be his son?
Well, I don't know. Bruce Willis is, like, 50 or something, right? So –
true, but I just figured like his daughter was in
college,
still in college, so you need someone who's like looks like he's in college,
like mid 20s probably.
Yeah, like Michael Cera. Michael Cera is John McClane.
Oh my god,
John McClane Jr.
Wow, yeah. Also, Aaron Paul from Breaking Bad.
Yeah, he looks like a good forerunner for that.
Mm-hmm. Paul Dano was in There Will Be Blood. He was in Little Miss Sunshine. He was the crazy, like, religious... He was the preacher in There Will Be Blood.
Oh. Wow. I forgot about him.
Stop it, Daniel! Bowling. And also, Milo Ventimiglia of Heroes and Rocky Balboa. And
he's a little too old, too.
Yeah, I think so.
And he needs not do Wolverine anymore.
Yep, definitely. I definitely, like, any of those names, I think Aaron Paul definitely is the best choice. They also want, I guess they're also interested in Paul Walker, but
whoa,
probably won't do it, they said. Which, that'd be kind of weird. Maybe you should get, like, Vin Diesel. Your dad on steroids. Been pumping iron all day, Dad.
It's like, wouldn't Vin Diesel been like 17 when the first Die Hard was out or something?
Yeah. So I don't know. I guess it was on Slash Film, and then I guess someone like tweeted at Slash Film Fox like, yeah, none of those names are really true. We wish they were. So who knows about that, but I'm sure they'll announce it in like couple months, who the John McClane Jr. is going to be. Probably none of those people.
Michael Cera.
Yeah, that's our choice.
It's the weird Arrested Development spinoff.
He's just like, yeah, he'd be like super nerdy, like, oh my god, Dad, I can't fire a gun.
That's why I didn't talk to you for like 2 movies.
Why can't you be more like your sister? She's fucking killing aliens now. So that's it for news, unless you have anything else you want to talk about, Chris? Anything you saw?
No, that's it for now.
Okay.
All I know is that, you know, now's the time for zombie shit, and it's happening.
Okay. That was very vague.
Yeah.
But yes, there are zombies, because it's October.
Yep.
So I'm going to get to the newest roundup, and then we'll get to our special feature. So, our pick of the week, I think we teased it before, but it's Batman Year One.
How's that not your pick of the week?
Yeah, it's on my PS3 right now. I still have to watch it, so probably a review of that by the end of the week. If you're probably up, it might be up by the time you're listening to this. Oh, also, I forgot to mention a review of The Thing is up on the site. If you want to go check that out. So besides Batman Year One, we also have Pirates of the Caribbean on Stranger Tides, a movie I completely forgot came out this year.
Yeah, I mean, people liked it, but
literally when we were talking about our summer, like summer wrap up, I was like, Pirates of the Caribbean came out this year? Really? I completely forgot that happened. I mean, it was all right. There's some good, like Ian McShane was awesome, his Blackbeard and stuff. And there was a couple good sequences, but it was definitely not as good. Like the first one is still the best one by far. Hey, you haven't seen On Stranger Tides yet, have you, Chris?
No, but, you know, I appreciate that there's another one, but I just haven't found the time or need to see it.
Also, we have Clone Wars Season 3, I think.
Yeah, I kind of got angry when they did the movie, and then they just like, oh, it's a precursor to the TV show. It's like, yeah. Oh, you bastards.
Apparently people love that show. I've never seen it, but...
I've seen, like, one episode, maybe. And it's very dialogue, 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 action, action.
Yeah. I still... The only Clone Wars I will stick with is the Gennady Tartakovsky one. Samurai Jack guy did, like, those one-minute, two-minute ones for...
Mm-hmm. I like those. When
came out, yeah, those are awesome.
I like... I mean, that's what I mean. Like, once it's like, oh, we're rebooting it.
And the base window the... one where it just, like, decimates an entire army.
Just by doing force punches at
yep.
it?
Yep. And there's the Kit Fisto one where he, like, destroys the underwater army and stuff.
Yep.
Yeah, those are pretty sweet. we also have Bad Teacher out this week. One of the many R-rated comedies that came up this summer. The Cameron Diaz one. I saw little bits and pieces of it and looked okay, I guess. What do you think, Chris?
It seems like a funny comedy. I definitely watch it on Netflix.
Yeah. I think... I didn't really see any of the comedies this summer, so I'd probably check them out. Like, definitely after, like, Hangover 2 and Bridesmaid and Horrible Bosses, it's, like, down on the bottom of the list. We also have Blu-ray of The Crow of this week.
Woo! Not bad. It's a good movie. It's a sad movie because it's Brandon Lee's last movie because
mm-hmm.
he died in it.
Yep.
And, you know, good story about revenge and redemption. I just remember, like, a year or two after that, a wave of people started dressing up like The Crow.
Yeah.
I think it's died down now, but if they ever remake it, like, it'll be coming back.
Mm-hmm.
But now when people see it, they would probably think
emo?
Either it's either emo, Sting from, like, old school WWF wrestling.
Yes.
Or you're some sort of, like, skinny juggalo.
Yep.
Which is sad, because mm-hmm. it's like, now if you dress up like The Crow, people who think, you know, you're a juggalo.
Magnets, how do they work? So, also we have Red State, the controversial Kevin Smith movie.
It's
sort of like a long journey that movie's had.
Where, like, yeah, I mean, I'll...
Dance and, like, said he was going to auction it off, but then, like, he bought, like, I'm auctioning it off to myself, and then, like... Went on the like it had like a roadshow with it and stuff, and like it was on Netflix instant. It was like instant watch and video on demand. Now it's on DVD. It was on like 10 theaters or something before.
Was it?
Yeah, it was in like a couple theaters. But now it's on Blu-ray and DVD if you want to watch it. Pretty much about like crazy religious cult. These kids get like locked up in it. Or, like
it's supposed to be just like a kind of a different version of Waco.
That yeah.
horrible tragedy that happened in the South.
Mm-hmm. It's sort of, like, inspired by, like, the Western Baptist Church. Those, like, insane people. So, also on Blu-ray, we have Cape Fear, the Robert De Niro one.
I remember that one, yes.
Yeah.
It's a good story. It's just... I didn't grow up with that one. I knew it was around. I don't know. I like the original one.
Yeah.
People said that it was a little bit better because it was like less dramatic of like, I'm going to stalk her family. You're not going to stop me.
Yep. I think the De Niro one inspired the Simpsons episode.
Yeah.
The Sideshow Bob one.
Mm-hmm. He's got the love and hate on his fist, but yep. So did the old version too. Mm-hmm.
That Simpsons episode had like one of the best jokes ever with like the rakes. Such about stepping on rakes and like getting in the face with them for like 5 minutes. Also, we have Zombie on Blu-ray.
The original Italian one?
Yeah, the weird Italian movie.
Really good gore. Story's kind of weird.
Is that the one where like the girl gets like her eye poked out by like the piece of wood or something and you actually see it go in?
Maybe.
I think that's... I can't remember. There's some famous director who did it.
Oh, man. Joe's around, but he'll answer that later.
Lucio Fulci. I think he was a big Italian horror director for a while there. So, yeah, 2-disc Ultimate Collection for that one. We also have the 40th anniversary giant collector's edition of Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory.
Oh, man.
Great, great movie. Like, that movie's, like, part of my DNA of, like movie growing up DNA.
Yep. It's really terrible, because you think about the transition of the new one, and there's no musicals that worth mentioning.
Yeah, there's no good songs. I mean, the original had, like, you can't beat Gene Wilder as Willy Wonka.
Exactly.
And also had, like, just so many, like, classic scenes, like the tunnel.
the scary ass.
Thing, is it boring? Are the hounds of hell blowing? It's like a chicken gets head cut off, and there's like a lizard eating a fly. Nightmare fuel.
I just, like, you thank God for, like, standards now. You can't make a chocolate factory like that ever.
Yeah.
I remember, like, as a kid, I would go to Hershey Park, and I'm just like, oh, is there a Wonka station?
Where are the Oompa Loompas?
Yeah. Nope. They don't do that.
Where are the Oompa Loompas going to sing, like, ironic songs about punishments and karma and stuff? The mother and the father.
We killed a whole family.
So, yeah, 40th, I think it's, like, probably a couple discs. 40th anniversary, like, it's, like, in a big box. Which I'm sure that movie looks awesome on Blu-ray, too. We also have, also coming out, we have the second season of V. The new V. I think it's also the last season of V. Because it got canceled. Never watched it.
I just knew it was, like, lizard people.
Yeah. Never saw the original one, either.
Lizard people again.
Yeah. Eating hamsters. We have season one, book one of the new Thundercats.
It's called book one?
Yeah. I think they've only had, like, 8 episodes, so I guess it's, like, the first 8 episodes. I think the new, like, I think it kicks back in, like, next week, so. I guess it's, like, catch up before it starts back up again.
Do it or you don't know what's happening.
But yeah, that show is awesome, so I would definitely say check that out. I'm sure I'll have, like, a marathon or something, though, before the new episode comes out, so I'll say probably see if they're going to do that before you, like, buy this book one thing. we have Captain America, the red brown ones, which is the weird, I think they're from the 80s, the knockoff ones.
Captain America has his own TV show?
No, it's the ones with Christopher Lee.
Oh.
They're, okay. You get Captain America and the Captain America 2, Death Too Soon.
Well, there was, like, the made-for-TV ones, and then there was the one went to the theaters, and it did so bad, Marvel closed its studios.
Yeah. I think this might be the one with the motorcycle.
Is it the one where he fights the dogs? I remember that was on
Conan. This is the one that Conan was showing all the time.
Ah.
Oh, it looks good.
Looks good.
Oh, it looks good. And then last thing out this week, before we get to our special feature, is Hellraiser Revelations, the 9th Hellraiser movie.
That was the 9th?
Yep. And it doesn't even have the same guy playing Pinhead in this one. Like, Doug Bradley, who played Pinhead for the first 8 movies. But, like, he's not even in this one. So,
that tells you, that's a bad sign when the original actor won't be back. He's just like, nope.
And, like, I don't know if you've seen the trailer. Like, it just, like, it looks like it's shot in, like, a handheld digital camera or something.
God. With, like, is it a found footage, like, Hellraiser?
No, it looks horrible. Like, just, like, it's shot horrible. It's, like, it looks like they had, like, Craigslist ad of, like, hey, you want to be in a Hellraiser movie? Come to this warehouse.
What is this? It's Hellraiser. It's like, oh.
What? So, yeah, that is it for special feature and newest roundup, so I want to get to our special feature. And we're actually going to talk about movies based on classic literature because the probably 5th or 6th version of Three Musketeers is out this weekend. I don't know. This latest one looks incredibly stupid. Coming from, it's Paul W.S. Anderson. the master behind the Resident Evil movies and Death Race and other movies.
Combine that with the fact that Ray Stevenson is playing a title character and it's destined to fail.
Mm-hmm. And there's like random like steampunk airships that are like with flamethrowers on them and stuff and like danger rooms. I don't know what's going on, but
wait, is Mila Jovovich in this?
Yeah.
Yep. For no reason.
Yeah, no.
Well, she's married to Paul W.S. Anderson, so that's why.
Right.
I know,
besides
but...
boning the director.
Yeah.
I was just kind of hoping that maybe he'd make a movie without his dirty whore crush in it, but...
And Orlando Bloom's in it, I think.
Oh, good.
And Christoph Waltz. Is Cardinal Richelieu.
Really?
Cardinal Richelieu is Christoph Waltz, yeah.
Wasn't he, like, nominated for an Academy Award?
Yes, he won an Academy Award for Inglourious Basterds.
Yeah, and now he's in the fucking Three Musketeers.
And Green
Look
Hornet.
Look for him to be nominated for another Academy Award for his next movie, folks. You heard it here first.
Well, he was also in Green Hornet, or, like, in January this year.
As oh, fuck guy. Me. So he's done two, like, favor movies.
Yeah.
Jesus. I think somebody tricked him.
I think he's supposed to be, like, I don't think he's the bad guy. I think he's like some sort of like. I think he's the German. Like he's the mentor to Django and Django Unchained.
Spoiler alert: he's German.
Yep. All right. So we talk about like movies that got based on classic literature, like I don't know Shakespeare stuff like that. H.G. Wells, Jules Verne, all sorts of all those classics, public domain stuff.
Literature.
Actually, why don't we kick it off, since we're talking about the Three Musketeers is the impetus for this. Why don't we talk about the Disney Three Musketeers, the far superior one.
Oh, man.
Classic. Kiefer Sutherland, Charlie Sheen, Oliver Platt.
Now, what? Now, who doesn't sound like an action star out of all those names?
And also, Chris O'Donnell as D'Artagnan.
Can't fuck with Robin, bitch.
And I was like,
was this,
Chris
I think,
O'Donnell's coming up and coming.
Was this, I think, was it before or after Batman Forever? I think it might have been like a little bit before. Because they're like, Chris O'Donnell's the new big thing here.
Man, like, if you, this was like the beginning for like Chris O'Donnell's career. Like, Kiefer Sutherland's pretty established. Charlie Sheen, like, he just came out of Hot Shots.
Mm-hmm.
Oliver Platt, like, if he's not doing romantic comedies or dramas, like, I don't know why he's doing this movie. Like, but man, he was actually a D'Artagnan I didn't mind. Because he was like the young, up and coming. He was kind of like a dick.
Yeah, he was
dick. Yeah, he was like seducing all the local village women.
Yeah, he was like, I could kick your ass as Three Musketeers.
Yeah,
I'm so good. And also, like the perfect Cardinal Russo too in Tim Curry.
Oh man, Tim Curry is a evil duke.
Yeah, no, he's Cardinal Richelieu.
Yeah, Cardinal. And who the hell was the guy that killed D'Artagnan's dad?
I know it's probably someone big in the 90s, but I can't remember who it was.
Yeah, but you remember him? He kind of looks like Val Kilmer.
Yeah.
And he wore, like, the badass one eye patch, and
mm-hmm.
He always, like, hated the Musketeers. It was great. And it was a great, like, you know, good versus evil. There was very little, like, kind of adult themes, except for like two parts, really. The part where there's that the Scarlet Spy woman that was gonna marry Keith Sutherland's character. Remember her?
Yeah, Countess de Winter.
Yep.
Yeah, they were like.
Became.
Yeah, she was like when the villains too.
Sort of villains, and then sort of not.
Yeah.
I'd never took a badass jump off that like cliff.
Mm-hmm.
And Charlie Sheen kept seducing all the women.
Yep. It was like, Kiefer was serious, Charlie Sheen was a womanizer, and Oliver Platt was the comic relief.
Raise your hand when you're shocked.
A very cliche movie, but enjoyable. Yeah, they don't show too much.
It was sort of like weird, sort of like precursor like Pirates of the Caribbean kind of, because that was like Disney. It was like Disney doing like a big like swashbuckling action movie.
Even the poster looks like it.
Yeah,
like, if you look at the posters.
Isn't it?
Like, the tiles at the bottom, they're all in the dark, staring at you with their faces,
yep.
Like, sort of half-shadowed.
Yep.
Disney, don't change the formula.
So, what other movies based on classic literature.
How about the other Musketeer movie, The Musketeer?
No. Oh my god.
Please, why? No.
Because
it's the same year. I think that.
No, it came out like 10 years later.
I thought it was like a Deep Impact Armageddon sort of thing.
The what?
I thought it was like a.
No. It's not like a bite off movie. Like Deep Impact and Armageddon are both basically about the same thing. They're just different means to the same end.
Mm-hmm.
The Musketeer, oh boy. I do remember it being like a few years later, though. But being like, didn't we just have a fucking Musketeer movie not too long ago?
Yeah, Disney was 93 and that one was 2001, so.
So what the fuck? Maybe I'm thinking about The Man in the Iron Mask.
Yeah.
That came out.
The mid-90s was like, everything let's grab every possible thing we can have in the public domain, just like throw it out there.
Yeah.
No, The Musketeer had Tim Roth in it as the evil, like, the man in black.
Oh, never mind. Okay.
Yeah, and it was more like a, and it was like all the choreography was done by like a Chinese guy.
Yep.
So all the combat was kind of like.
It was like wire fu. Yeah, it was like wire fu.
Yeah, so it's like it kind of was out of place.
Mm-hmm.
It's a good mashup of like different ideas. It's an American movie played by like half of the French cast, and then like all the stunt work were done by Chinese people.
Yep.
So it's like a P.F. Chang's, but not really.
I hate P.F. Chang's.
So, yeah, it tries to follow the same story, except no one really, like, Charlie Sheen and Keith Sutherland level were, like, the other Musketeers. They try to focus all on D'Artagnan, and it sort of was enjoyable, but it really wasn't.
Yeah, I think it was a big bomb. No one cared about it.
Pretty much, yeah. They didn't know how to market it, because it's like, they try to market it as a romance movie,
yeah,
and then they try to market it as like an action movie.
Take your girl. Oh, man. There'll be some wires and stuff. Kung fu action going on.
Love.
Swords.
Karate.
Yeah. I mean, those are the two Musketeer movies I remember that are like more recent that aren't black and white.
Yeah.
And aren't like the 50s where like every 2 years there's like a Musketeer's Ride Again. Or like Musketeer's like battle... Like in Paris, like
Battle Frankenstein.
I think there was a Three Stooges movie that like they met the Musketeers or something.
Probably,
absolutely, dude. They've done everything. Three Stooges are my shit.
So we were talking about the mid-90s. Are like, I think you mentioned Man in the Iron Mask.
Yeah,
that's
like Leonardo DiCaprio was like the go-to like classic literature guy for a while.
Literature.
Romeo and Juliet. Romeo plus sign Juliet.
Now, most people, I remember that's like the first soundtrack that I'm like, I could buy this. The music of my generation.
Yeah.
Cardigans, Love Fool. Some shit sticks with you, and that song is like herpes.
Mm-hmm.
Every couple of years it flares up.
Nothing says Shakespeare like Love Fool.
It's true.
Do you remember the cast of that movie? It's really insane how they pull that off.
Well,
it was like, I want John Leguizamo in a Shakespeare movie.
Yep.
Nothing says Victorian like John Leguizamo in a Hawaiian shirt for most of the movie, nonetheless.
I remember Jamie Kennedy was in that movie.
Yeah.
All the big 90s stars.
Oh, yeah, all the 90s stars.
All the stars of the 90s.
Even what's his face?
Romeo and Juliet was like, it's sort of like what In Time is going to be next week. We're just like, get every 25-year-old that's working in a movie.
Yeah, pretty much. Even like Paul Rudd was in that movie for like no reason. Like, Paul Rudd, you're still famous. Get in this thing.
God, that movie is so fucking weird. Because basically verbatim. Like Shakespeare text, but it's like, oh, it's in the modern times for some reason.
And East LA.
Yep. There's gangs. And drive-bys.
Well, I remember the House of Montagues, one of the houses owned like a gas company, like a corporation, and the other one owned like real estate.
Yep.
I just remember that from like the background, like stories that were going on, but like I liked it. It's a decent attempt to modernize a. like old Shakespearean era story into modern times.
Mm-hmm. Which like it's, that sort of looks at what they're gonna do with like Coriolanus coming up.
Yeah. Are they gonna speak Shakespearean or are they gonna?
I don't know. It doesn't look like they're speaking. It's sort of, I don't know. It's got sort of like that Spartacus sort of like they're talking like way of talking.
Oh, it's like new old English.
Yeah.
Okay, that's not so bad, but at least it's not like this where everything's kind of taken out of context. You got Romeo speaking Shakespearean, meanwhile like carrying a fucking like Desert Eagle.
Yep.
Like something just kind of off about that.
Little bit.
Speaking of like other updates to the Shakespearean thing, there was the update to Othello.
Yes.
It had Josh Hartnett as what was his name? Iago. The manipulative white guy to Othello.
Othello, yeah.
Yeah. No one saw that movie? Was I the only one?
Probably.
Oh, no, I saw it. I just choose not to speak about it. Julia Stiles.
I mean, the update was instead of a kingdom, Othello was a high school basketball player, like the star player, and then his friend was, I guess, like the second best player and wanted to be number one and try to trick Othello by manipulating his girlfriend. Classic story.
Yep.
Didn't do so well, I remember.
Yeah, that was like 90s had like a lot of like we're not gonna call it a Shakespeare play, but it's basically a Shakespeare play. Like wasn't 10 Things I Hate About You like Taming the Shrew basically.
Yep.
And then there was like Lion King's basically Macbeth.
Oh,
or is it?
Yeah, do you remember the Macbeth that had Mel Gibson in it?
Oh boy, that was actually a badass movie.
Yeah, that was pretty good.
What about?
It wasn't a modern update, but it was Mel Gibson doing Shakespearean. So.
Yeah. What about Macbeth with Arnold?
Claudius, you killed my father.
To be or not to be. Not to be.
Stay thy hand, fair prince. Who said that was fair? He shoots him with an Uzi.
Yep.
That's so awesome.
That's the Shakespeare movie I want. That's how I want Coriolanus to be.
Like, I really want that to actually happen now. Like, I want that movie to be made.
So, let's see. What else is there? Oh! One of the, like... What about, have you guys seen the Count of Monte Cristo from the 90s?
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Jim Caviezel.
With Jesus.
Yep.
With Jesus.
And Guy Pearce, yeah.
Yep.
So, not bad.
I remember people got so fucking pissed off because, like, they made, like, a super happy ending for it. You guys remember that?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I never read the original.
Well, the original is like I think he has like his main like bad guy like, but he's about to kill him, and he holds off because like his like girl is former fiance is like, no, this is my life now. You can't kill him. And he's like, fine, and just leaves.
Total girl move.
Yeah, but this one like they had the crazy like sword battle in like the field. It's like he goes to like I don't know, there's like the weird like shed or something, like the weird building out in the field, and there's like a chessboard on it and stuff. And it's like, oh god, he was here.
Yeah, it was pretty.
It's like he set a trap, like an ambush for him and stuff. So you have like their big epic sword fight, and then like he kills him, and then like they're like live happily ever after.
It's usually how my sword fights go.
Mm-hmm. So. I remember like Luis Guzman was in it as like his assistant.
Oh man, that kind of threw it off too.
Anytime you see Luis Guzman, you know you're in for a solid, solid film.
And Dumbledore was his teacher in prison.
That was Dumbledore?
The original Dumbledore.
Richard Harris. I mean, they could have spent more time emphasizing his training to be a fighter and like a clever tactician and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So they kind of rushed that point. It's like, oh, you're in jail. Hey, you want to know a secret? And then it's like, oh, there's a tunnel. And it kills them. Remember the tunnel collapses and kills Dumbledore?
Yep.
Guess you could say he's Dumble Dead.
Yeah, that movie had like so many terrible like, we're gonna spice this up. Here's a bunch of action sequences and stuff.
Sort of explosions.
Yeah.
They should really make a remake of that, like a little more fancier.
Like a more serious?
A more serious, more like, because it turns out revenge pays out well. Like, this one, there's no lesson. It's just like, if you plan well enough, your revenge will be worth it. There's no, like, retribution for it. It's just kind of like, just think things through.
Yeah, just think about it. Think about it.
So, let's see. I'm trying to think of, like, some book, like, go through, like, books that...
What else have we read?
what were we forced to read in school that became movies?
Comic books or literature.
Frankenstein.
Ooh, Frankenstein. Yeah.
Mary Shelley.
Frankenstein's a pretty big one. Oh, Mary Shelley's Frankenstein is the worst of all of them.
Isn't that Robert De Niro in it?
Yeah, as the bumbling, like, retard monster.
Yeah.
He's just like, meh, feelings. It's really, really depressing.
Yeah. Actually, if you want to, the Angry Video Game Nerd this year, he's doing, like, you know how he does, like, the Monster Madness every year where, like, every day in October he does, like, a different new video?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think the first week of October he did, like, the entire Frankenstein series. If you want to check that out, it's pretty awesome.
Well, I watched one version of Frankenstein that was really weird. It was the one where John Hurt goes back in time to meet Mary Shelley and hunts down Frankenstein. Whoever's seen that version?
Wasn't that like Flesh for Frankenstein or something?
Flesh for Frankenstein.
No, I'm not kidding. Like, I think it was actually called something like pretty explicitly gay.
Frankenstein Unbound.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's the one where he just, like, is from the future, and he drives a car to the Victorian era, so he can, like, he bangs Mary Shelley. And then he finds out that, like, she, like, wrote the story based off a local monster, and he goes out and finds the monster, and it's, and he teams up with Ralph Julia.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. And they, like, try to figure out, like, how to understand the Frankenstein monster. It's a nice twist. It was really confusing. Like, instead of, like, a typical Frankenstein movie, it's just like, oh, there's sci-fi, like, science fiction from the future, and then it goes back to an investigation, and then it goes to, like, a horror movie. Mm. So it's kind of like The Raven, almost, that kind of way.
Evermore.
You mean the upcoming John Cusack movie?
Yep, like the upcoming one.
With ass-kicking detective?
He's sort of like Sherlock Holmes, yep. But then he's kind of not.
He's American Sherlock Holmes, damn it. Speaking of Sherlock Holmes, there's not a bunch of those.
Yeah.
I didn't really watch a lot of the old ones, but I watch, like, the BBC ones.
Yo,
the TV show.
Wait, Sherlock? The new one?
No, not the new one.
Oh, you gotta watch the new one is amazing.
Go on.
Like, it's only 3 episodes, but I think season 2 is starting up, like, next month or something, or a couple months. But it's, like, they do, like, it's in modern times, and, like, it's pretty awesome. They just, like, they do, like, the great, like, they do, like, the classic, like, a case of, I think it was, like, a study in Scarlet or something. It's like a study in pink now. Where he's got, like, tricking people and, like, taking poison pills and stuff. That he's gonna figure out who it is. And there's, like, the third episode has, like, an awesome, like, build up to Moriarty.
Isn't Sherlock, like, a teenager in this one?
He's, like, I'd say mid-20s, probably.
On the cover, he looks like a kid, so.
Yeah. It's Benedict Cumberbatch. The greatest British name of all time. He's going to be in Tinker Tailor Soldier Spy. Then, I don't know, you guys looking forward to the Sherlock Holmes 2? A Game of Shadows?
No.
You guys,
I can wait.
You guys like the first one?
No.
I like the first one. Yeah. I just watched it too many times, and I put subtitles on because they spoke way too fast with the British accents.
It wasn't that bad. It wasn't like I heard like Attack the Block. You need subtitles or something because it's like super. It's like London plus like ghetto. Or like it's not like a like it's not like Glock stock and two stoking barrels or something.
True. I just remember seeing it in theaters, and I guess it must have been the theater or something, because I just could not understand what's going on, what they're talking about.
Blimey, go with you, Bardo.
I'm just like, what? What? Why is Iron Man hanging out in London?
Where's his suit? He should have, like, a steampunk version of the suit. Or just have, like, the Iron, like, the Mark One walking around.
Flame-throwing people, ah.
Yep. I channeled back in time for some reason. Thor! So, let's see, what else? Well, I guess, like, well, H.G. Wells and Jules Verne, the sci-fi masters, there was, like, a bunch of movies based on them.
No matter what, I feel like those are the kind of classics that are always going to get repeated over and over again every 10 years.
Like War of the Worlds.
War of the Worlds. League of 2000 Leagues Under the Sea.
Yeah. Oh my god, the Disney version of 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea is awesome. It needs to come up. Maybe it needs like a Criterion Collection or like a Blu-ray or something. Kirk Douglas.
That's all who I remember.
Yeah.
He wasn't even like the main guy. He was just like one of the other guys.
He was Ned, I think it was Ned something. I can't remember what his last name was. But he was the Master Harpooner. And like one of the best like practical effects ever were like the giant squid.
Yep.
And just like the design of the Nautilus was amazing too in that movie.
Yeah, that was pretty cool. I remember like the Disney parks open up like a ride based off that submarine.
Yeah, when I was like 3 or 4, I think I rode on that once. Like my first trip to Disney World ever, and then they tore it down like a couple years afterwards.
And now it's Finding Nemo.
Yeah, I think
like the ride.
Or, like, Little Mermaid or something.
So, yeah, it was a good story. A bunch of guys on a ship trying to just explore the sea.
With an insane captain who wanted to, like, blow up the Earth. He wanted to, like, kill everyone on the Earth. Like, basically, his whole thing was, like, I want to kill everyone on land because the land is horrible.
That's what his point was about. He just wanted to be in the ocean.
Well, yeah, that's it. He loved the ocean. He thought like people were like destroying the oceans or something, so he wanted to kill them. And he was crazy.
I never read the book. I always watched the movies. So. Okay, that kind of explains a few things. But then again, I watched the Disney version where like the crazy people always die and like, the good guys always live.
Yeah, just like the insane whirlpool at the end.
Yep, just breaks their ship.
The Nautilus! I guess there was a sequel, like, that Jules Verne wrote. Like, I can't remember the name of it, though, but, like, it was Captain Nemo somehow survived, I guess.
And it was pissed.
Yeah.
Fuck the sea!
Revenge! God, I'm trying to think, like, what else did H.G. Wells and Jules Verne write?
War of the Worlds, let's talk about that.
Yeah, well, there was, like, the fifth, like, was it 60s, I think, or 50s version? It was, like, in color, and it had, like, crazy special effects for it, like, the time.
I didn't see that one.
It was, like, the walker, like, the bipods were, like, floating. Like, their legs were invisible, so they had them, like, floating. Looked like they were floating in midair and stuff.
Okay.
They're like neon green, basically. I'm sure if you've seen, you've probably seen, like, pictures of them.
I probably have seen them. I just didn't know.
Then, I know there's no one after that, right? I think there's like one between that and the Tom Cruise version.
Yeah. Well, there might be like made for TV movies or something, or something obscure, but never
I think
like.
I think you're thinking of like the Asylum movies with like C. Thomas Howell.
Yeah, I saw that. I saw like the cover.
War of the Worlds 2, like, Strike Back or something.
crazy.
Humanity's Revenge.
Well, I don't trust the Asylum films, really.
No.
You know, like, oh my god, that's a great movie. I always expect to, like, get drunk and, like, watch that.
But yeah, Tom Cruise won. It's okay. It's got some major problems with it, but...
The effects were good.
Yeah.
And I really like Tom Cruise's jacket in that movie.
He ran awesome, as always.
Yeah.
I just hated, like, the kid just, like miraculously surviving the, explosion.
Oh my god.
He goes over the hill. He goes over the hill. The entire hill blows up. And then he somehow gets there before them in Boston safe. And like Boston's safe too. It's like one walker walking around there.
Really, they don't want Boston at all.
No, not really.
Dude, that movie, that scene was filmed on my block.
Was it?
In Brooklyn. Yeah, it was filmed on a Polhemus place, which was right over from me. It was pretty awesome. It
looks like Boston.
So I was like, hey, I could see, well, no. I don't know, because frankly, fuck Boston. But I just sort of was like, hey, they're shooting a movie over there.
Tom Cruise!
All these people were like, yeah, it's Steven Spielberg and Tom Cruise. And I was like, oh, Bully. And then just like...
Storm the set!
Went inside. Yeah. Well, nah, not even. I mean, this was high school, Joe. I could give a fuck about Tom Cruise. I hadn't yet seen Cocktail.
The magic of Cocktail.
Now I'd be like, OMG.
Kokomo, Tom.
Yeah.
Sing Kokomo with me.
Basically, yes.
I just remember that the one awesome part of the world was when he goes and meets up with Tim Robbins at that crazy cabin.
Yeah.
And
the nuclear fallout shelter, basically. What's like? Yeah.
I don't know why they had to kill Tim Robbins. Why couldn't they just leave?
Because
just like,
I don't, because he was going crazy, like he was going insane, I guess. I can't remember exactly. I can't remember exactly what he was saying, but he was like going nuts. So like, Tom Cruise was afraid he was going to kill them both or something.
Mm.
I remember there's that awesome scene where like the tentacle is like looking through the basement.
Yep.
Like classic Steven Spielberg scene.
Hmm.
So,
hey, what about Who Goes There with The Thing?
Yeah, The Thing was based on a short story.
Yeah.
Yeah, called Who Goes There. That shit was actually pretty solid. If you're into, like, 30s writing.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm sure it's an awesome story. I don't know if it's classic, though, is it, Joe?
That's fucking literature, man.
Okay. Well, that's...
It's classic enough now that, you know... Yeah.
That kind of opens like the can of worms of like every movie based on a book ever.
You guys like Jurassic Park?
Yeah. Well, you could even say like The Hunt for Red October and like fucking all that shit. Yeah. Anything based on a goddamn espionage novel. No Country for Old Men.
James Bond.
All that.
Let's put a 30-year limit on it. Anything like
I'm thinking like 1800s to like 1900s.
Yeah, you're thinking of like actual literature,
yeah,
not like contemporary shit.
Mm-hmm. Dickens.
Oh god.
Oh boy, A Christmas Carol.
And there's a new one every year.
There sure is.
I still believe Muppets. Yeah, we all believe that one.
Yeah.
I didn't see the Jim Carrey one. I feel bad about that.
It was all right, I guess. There's way too much of like, let's jazz it up with 3D. Yeah, he's running from a carrot for some reason. He shrunk down.
I can't see real good. Was that the third dimension they were just in?
I will say, like, the opening of that movie is like the only time I've gotten like the sort of, you know, that weird like your stomach's lifting up feeling.
Yeah,
yeah.
It's the only time I felt that in a 3D movie is like the beginning of that.
Damn.
Because it's like this like weird like crane shot over London and it goes kind of slow. We're like, whoa, I'm over London.
Like Muppet, what was the pirate one?
Treasure Island. Yeah,
that
was a book.
I remember there was like during that decade of the 90s, there was like three Treasure Island movies.
Yeah, there was one with like Charlton Heston.
Yeah, and there was the cartoon one, Treasure Planet.
Yep.
Was that a Disney movie?
It was Disney, yeah. That was sort of like,
that's like,
wasn't that sort of like,
bastard?
Yeah, wasn't that sort of like the last 2D movie they made?
No, the last one was the one with the cows.
Which one?
Home on the Range.
Was it?
Home on the Range was the last one.
I remember. Yeah, it was like late 90s, early 2000s, just like the lost era of Disney animation.
Actually, let me look that up because I gotta see what year Home on the Range came out.
Treasure Planet and like Spirit and all that other. Anything after Tarzan is basically like no one cares about it.
Oh, I'm sorry. Home on the Range is 2004, but yeah, anything that was the weird era because I remember Titan AE came out and the Iron Giant, and then like that was the weird like competitors against Disney.
Mm-hmm. And then he's like, we're making 3D movies now. Here's Chicken Little.
Well, the last... The, like, Home on the Range was the last Disney movie that was 2D, like,
until,
very little effects.
Princess and the Frog.
Princess and the Frog, yeah. That was the only movie that had Roseanne Barr in it and Judi Dench.
God.
And Jennifer Tilly.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's not classic at all.
No, it's not.
How about Chicken Little? That's actually, like, an old story for, like, an old wives' tale kind of thing.
That's another can of worms.
Okay.
And I'm trying to think of, like, public domain. Like, I have a bunch of them on my phone that, like, the Kindle store.
Oh, okay.
It's just like, here, download these free books.
Okay, let's go for a natural, then. How about Dracula?
Oh, but, yeah, Dracula. Bram Stoker.
Dracula 2000, motherfucker.
Oh, my God. That's the first time I met Gerard Butler. Like,
yeah,
he came
that was
to
a
me.
Good fucking soundtrack, though. Avoid
Who
the Light
the
by Pantera, Bloodlines by Slayer, fucking actual good bands on a movie soundtrack.
What about Bram Stoker's Dracula? Gary Oldman.
Oh, my God.
Gary Oldman and Keanu.
Whoa, I'm feeling a British accent, Mo. Mates.
This is pretty classy and such.
That
good
face, man.
Did you see the cover of that thing? I always like the cover.
Where, like,
because it's like very, the statue.
The
gray stone, like the light gray stone, and there's a statue of Dracula, and there's like blood coming from his lips. And I was like, wow, this movie's going to scare me. But I saw it, and I was like laughing at it.
Yep. That movie's just fucking ridiculous.
I always like the parody of it, the Mel Brooks version of it.
Yeah, and the Simpsons one, Mr. Burns.
Yep. I mean, not... I'm thinking, like, the Van Helsing, because that's when they try to bring back the old version of an old Van Helsing, never a young one, and then Hugh Jackman's version of Van Helsing.
God.
Ooh. Difficult movie to watch.
I remember the movie theater I work at, like, when it first opened, I got tickets to, like, the OC opening night, and that was the movie I saw. It was Van Helsing. That was, like, 6 years ago.
Yeah.
So, let's see, anything else? I'm sure there's a bunch we're missing, but...
Yeah. We didn't do our homework on this one.
Well, there's Lost World, which I think was that Jules Verne, or was that H.G. Wells? I'm not sure. No, wait, I think that was a Jungle Book guy, I think.
Really?
Yeah. People are just, like, yelling at us because we're so stupid. We can't remember. Arthur Conan Doyle, that's who it was. He was Sherlock Holmes, and he also wrote Lost World.
Whoa.
Which, there's a bunch of weird... like, Sci-Fi Channel originals. There's, like, one with, like, John Rhys-Davies. There was a TV show. I remember watching, like, it was on, like, 6 o'clock in the morning, so I used to watch it before I went to school. And then, of course, there's the Michael Crichton-based Lost World on The Lost World. So
yeah, not that great.
There's part two, Lost World.
Yep.
I like that movie still.
Of all the characters to show, why Jeff Goldblum?
Yeah.
Like, he was... Malcolm's character, all he did was bitch and, like, get injured.
Like, you have, Alan Grant, who's, like, the Indiana Jones of paleontologists, then you have, like, crazy Jeff Goldblum.
Even bring back Muldoon, the hunter.
Yeah, killed by a fucking raptor.
You can live.
Well, actually, he lived, I don't know if you guys...
In the book, he lived.
The original book, yeah, and also in the comics.
Was a comic?
There was, like, after Jurassic Park series that picks up, like, a week after...
And, like, really?
Raptors get, like, kidnapped by, like, a smuggler, and they get taken to, like, this, like, Colombian drug lord who trains them to be attack dogs, and there's, like, it gets fucking crazy. There's, like, a gorilla, like, a primate expert who's, like, tries to communicate with the raptors and the eater, and it's just, like, it's insane. It was, like, Raptor's Revenge, and, like, Raptor's Hijack, or, like, it was, like, the series.
Hmm.
I had them all.
I gotta see that. Like, I didn't know there was a comic series of Jurassic Park. That blew my mind.
There's like a, basically just like straight up Jurassic Park, and there's like Jurassic Park Raptor, which is like the crazy raptor story.
Well, that's why the book that Muldoon lives, because you would figure the guy who's just his whole life is just trying to like avoid crazy animals, he would live during this kind of situation.
Probably, yeah.
You know, and this is him. They just fuck clever girl.
Clever girl. And like in the book, like Hammond dies, but from, like the compies eat him.
Which one?
John Hammond. In the book.
Doesn't he fall?
He falls off. Something? He falls off in like a ditch of a cliff, and like the compies start eating him.
I mean, it's just one of those like justified things, since he was an evil kind of man at the end.
Yeah, he wasn't.
Not really, but in nature,
he was the sweet grandpa of the Jurassic Park movie.
Yeah, well, you know, he was a crazy like I want to be God character in the book, so yeah, it's poetic justice. And how about Moby Dick? Just clear off topic.
I think there was just like a Moby Dick, like I think Encore or something in a Moby Dick.
Yep, Encore
like,
original.
And Hawk and stuff in it.
And William Hurt and someone else. But like the thing is, Moby Dick's story, like it's classic. Don't get me wrong, but like it's never gonna get to like a blockbuster premiere or something. Like it's never gonna be like you should see Moby Dick in theaters.
It's like Jaws but with a whale.
Not even. The story is he just, like, whoever goes into, like, the middle of the sea to dick around with whales, Moby Dick shows up. That's it. Like, he doesn't come on shore and, like, flip people off or anything. Moby Dick just hangs out in the middle of the ocean.
Mm-hmm.
It's always, like, people are always, like, pissed off at it, go see him. I'm just saying, because as a story, that's it. Like, it's never going to progress. It's never, like, there's a deep, complex characters. They're always just really angry white people trying to whale Moby Dick.
Yep.
So, the Japanese are like fucking sea whalers. You don't hear their story of this.
Whale wars. So I think one more, and then we can probably wrap this up. But I think we talked about a couple weeks ago about the time machine with Jason Isaacs.
And, God.
It was Guy Pearce, right?
Guy Pearce and Jeremy Irons.
Jeremy Irons, yeah. One of the
and Orlando Jones in it. I remember when that came out.
It's basically like the butterfly effect.
Kind of. I just remember that the time really hated his wife.
Yeah. Like, I saved her from muggers, but she got run over by a carriage. Oh, she went to the park and got stabbed by a hobo. Like, he doesn't even go to, like, the future until, like, two-thirds of the way through the movie.
I forgot why he wanted to go to the future again. He just in the book they don't really explain. He just discovered time travel, so that kind of makes sense. But in the movie, he just like I don't fuck, and just like keeps like
got to save my girlfriend.
Yeah,
maybe like passed out and just went in the future or something. It's like weird like Stargate or something. It's like kind of advanced. It's like future advanced primitive thing sort of going on.
I like the part where he shows up on the planet time where the moon exploded. I was like, okay, I guess something happened, and they don't really explain. And that's cool. I mean, I like the montage scenes of that. I didn't really like the overall story.
People have, like, gliders and stuff, too, and I don't know. They have some weird transportation through things. It's very Avatar or something.
Kinda. You get, like, precursors somewhere there.
I think, wasn't Zoe Saldana in both those?
Nope. There was a woman that looked like her.
Yeah.
Or she looks like her now, because she was younger. Mm-hmm. Like, this woman's actually, like, older now. But the point is, I remember, like, halfway through the story, it had nothing to do with the book anymore. Like,
no, it didn't.
Completely different. Because I remember my English teacher back then was just like, do not write anything based off the movie. If you look at a failing grade.
Then there's this part where, like, Jeremy Irons was there, and he's, like, yelling at him in, like, a dark cave.
And he touches him then he meets Orlando Jones.
That was, like, English. That was, like, the weirdest. It's, like, Jeremy Irons was, like, on a throne, just, like, yelling at him about, like, evolution or something.
Apparently he's the smartest warlock there.
Yeah, he's, like, he's like the brain bug of Star Trek Troopers. Like,
yeah.
I've evolved my brain 10 times the size of a human's.
I mean, all he had to do to kill Jeremy Irons was show him, like, sunlight, and he would just explode or something, because he's, like, a giant albino. So.
A vampire with a giant brain. Yeah, that movie was not good.
Oh. I mean, I give Hollywood credit, trying to get kids like interested in classic literature, but not like this. Mm-hmm.
So I think that's a pretty good list of stuff. if we missed anything big, definitely send us an email, which you can do at contacteverythingaction.com. Also, you can find more from us at www.everythingaction.com, which is our website. We have a bunch of features going up, news, reviews, videos, anything on the internet, it's cool. So definitely check out everythingaction.com every day for a new feature, at least one new feature, usually two or three. We're also on Facebook, facebook.com/everything.action is our Facebook page. You can like us on there, see news stories that we find, we'll put them on there on the Facebook page. You can comment on those, send us links that you find on there. We'll link to anything else we find interesting on the internet. Also see posts as they go up from the site on there, so definitely check that out. Twitter.com/EVAction, our Twitter account. And you can see news stories we find on there too. We retweet a bunch of stuff. Also news stories from the site as they go up, you can see them on the Twitter feed. And, I don't know, retweet a bunch of funny stuff or sometimes we live blog movies. And we haven't done it in a while, but possibly sometime in the future, near future, we'll do that again.
We'll do it when it gets done.
Mm-hmm. And we're also on iTunes. If you go to iTunes Music Store, search Everything Action, you can subscribe to the podcast, rate us, leave comments. You can also get our app on there. It's free for your iPhone and iPod Touch. Gives you the last 20 news stories from the site and also listen to the podcast. And I think that's it. So for Chris and Joe, I am Zach, and we will see you next week.